to this inspirational teaching of Celebration Sisterhood.
Good morning. How y'all doing? Oh, I know you're doing awesome. Thank you so much for coming out to Sisterhood. I am so happy to see all of you. Wow, this is so exciting. We grew from last week. It's so great. You know what? My vision is this whole sanctuary will be full of tables and chairs with full of women. So if you do take those two cards and pray about who to invite, we could have to set up some more tables next week, ladies. That means you're all going to have to come early at 9 o'clock and help me set them up, right? It's going to be great. How many of you know some women who already you can tell they need to be here? They just need to be surrounded by other women that can love on them and minister to them and just hear the word of God and just worship and pray together. And that's what we need. We need a group of women to just link arms with. Amen. Awesome. Well, since I see some new faces that weren't here last week, I just kind of want to give you a taste of what we're doing. This spring semester for Sisterhood Mornings is called Big Love, Big Life. That's what we're learning about. And we're actually going through this book right here. It's called Can I Have and Do It All, Please? Yes, I know. It's awesome. Can I Have and Do It All? How many of you want to do it all in life? Can I Have and Do It All, Please? And it's by Christine Kane. She's one of the speakers at Shine this year. And speaking of Shine, on your seat there, right in front of you, you have a Shine brochure. It folds out into an awesome poster. So you can tape it up or put it in a frame, whatever you need. It's this beautiful, gorgeous woman with all these creative words on there. So it's a little poster for you. It gives you all the information you need to know about Shine. And we really want you to come to Shine. All the women from all the different campuses, from Zimbabwe to Hardy County to Camden, St. Augustine, all the ladies, all the different campuses are coming together for Shine. We have some phenomenal speakers this year. It's going to be terrific. But Kristen Kane's one of the keynote speakers. She wrote this book. We're learning it together. We sold out last week. I saw some women fighting out there over books. What was that all about? Like, we had 6 copies and they were like beating up on each other who could buy it. She's from Australia and they don't really sell these in our local bookstores. So we've ordered more and they should be here soon. So if you haven't got your copy, just hang tight. And I can always give you pieces of mine because mine's falling apart. But it's a great book. But we're going to cover chapter 1 today in that book. Next week we'll cover chapter 2. Feel free to pick up this CD from last week, which was our first message. We're selling it at the Resource Center, but we also post all of our messages online for free on HipCast. And you can go right to iTunes, and you can look under Celebration Church Orange Park Campus in the search box under iTunes, and you can download all of our messages, our youth messages, women's messages, Sunday, Wednesday night. Every message we speak, we post on iTunes for free. So if you want to pop it in your iPod, stick it on your computer, whatever you need to do to keep up with that, or you can go purchase a copy out there as well. But what we learned last week as we introduced the series is what does big love, big life mean? And what that means is to have a big love, big life, it means to live for the glory of God and to bear much abundant fruit for Him. We studied John chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, which says that He's the vine, we're the branches, and when we abide in Him, we'll bear much fruit. And that God really wants us to live a big life. And in this world, there's a lot of competition for what does that big life mean. For many people, it means a big house, a big car, a big diamond. Lots of things, lots of shoes, a great career. Come on, the big life can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. But in God's kingdom, it means living for Him and bearing fruit that remains for Him. So what we're going to talk about today is finding our all. And that's chapter 1 in this book, finding our all. Because when we talk about can I have it all and do it all, we need to understand what that word all means. Because left up to our own devices, we all can define that word all in many different terminologies. For a woman who's just starting out in her career, all looks different for a woman who is birthing babies. That all means something different to a woman who's sending her kids off to college. All might mean something different to a woman who is middle age in life, raising children, trying to figure out how to balance work and motherhood and wifehood and all those things. So defining our all, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So one of the most frequent questions we ask other women is, how does she do it all? How does she have it all? We look at other women and we say, how does she have time to work out? How does she have time to get a pedicure? How does she have time to read books? How does she have time to expand herself? How does she have time to sleep? Come on now, does anybody know what I'm talking about? We look at other women and we judge them and we critique their life and we say, how does she have it all? How does she do it all? I'm surviving on 3 hours sleep. I live off of caffeine. And how does she look so good? Come on, how does she paint her toenails? All those things we're always questioning and wondering to other women. How does she raise her kids so well? How does she love her husband so well? How does she excel and get promoted in her career? So we all want to know these secrets. And the truth is, there really isn't a magical formula on how to do it all. There's not a magical formula of how to have a successful strategy of having and doing it all. But the Word of God is full of wisdom. It's full of truth that we need to apply to ourselves to help us to do His all for our lives. And truthfully, we shouldn't compare ourselves to other women. And we shouldn't fall in the trap of trying to please other people. Amen. But having and doing it all means that we live for God and our goal is to please Him. Our goal is not to please our mother, our mother-in-law, our father-in-law, our neighbor, our sister, other women. Our goal is not to please anyone else but God. And no one else can define what the all is for us other than God. And ladies, we need to get really good at not allowing other people to tell us what our all is, because only God can tell us what our all is. Amen? Amen. So let's open the Word of God together. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 24 through 34. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. If you don't have that translation, no worries. I'm going to have it posted on the screen because the Amplified is very wordy, so you might get lost unless you look up on the screen. So I'm going to go ahead and read here. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, and whatever else is trusted in. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by worrying can be and being anxious can add one unit of measure, cubit, to his stature or to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellence, and dignity and grace was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness and His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. So the first thing that we need to ask ourselves as we seek to live intentional lives is, what is my all? And right here, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's basically saying that for many of us, we feel like we're just anxious and uneasy because our all is wrapped up in just providing our daily necessities, you know, food, clothing, shelter. And we get so worried about that. And it's really easy as women, especially because women worry a lot about the future, about how are things going to be provided for me? Are my kids going to be taken care of? You know, what's my 10-year plan, my 20-year plan, my 30-year plan, my retirement plan? Come on, ladies. We worry about these things. And God links it right here to serving two masters. And, you know, when we think about serving two masters, you think, well, I'm not serving money because I care more about God than I do money. But truthfully, when we allow worry to enter into our lives, it is robbing us from the all and the abundant and the big life that God has for us. And so when we know how good God is and how much he loves us, and that he wants to provide all of those things for us, then we are released from worry, released from fear. And it says right here, as we can put him first, right then and there, verse 33, we seek him first. We don't seek after things. We seek him first. So in other words, we're not seeking our all or what the world standard of all is. We're seeking him. We're seeking his kingdom. We're seeking his righteousness. And Jesus says he will provide all of our needs, and then that can be our all. Our all should be first and foremost wrapped up in Jesus. If our all has any motivation other than Jesus and pleasing him and loving him, then we've fallen into the trap of what the world does. And we learned last week that women who seek their all in competition to the world, they are on lots of pain medication. They're taking twice as much antidepressant medication as men, twice as much anti-anxiety medication as men. And we aren't happier as a whole, women, than we were 40 years ago, now that we have all these opportunities and choices and promotions in life, because we know that that doesn't bring true satisfaction and true joy. Just having opportunity and freedoms doesn't make women happy. But being free on the inside makes women very happy, because we made a lot of social justice growth in the last 40 years, but we haven't made spiritual progress in the lives of most women in 40 years. And we've seen that women are not healthier emotionally or spiritually. And so we always have to make sure that we put him first and his kingdom first, and that our all, our best, our biggest life that God wants us to live is wrapped up in him and his kingdom. And we'll never go wrong when we do that. Amen. Amen. So to find our all, we have to start right here. Start with a surrendered heart. And that's what it means to put his kingdom first. And to put him first means that we start with a surrendered heart. And I'd like to read Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3 in the Amplified. It says, "Wait and listen. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me, hear, and your soul will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David." So even if we think that we don't have anything to offer to God, we're wrong. Because what we have to offer God is the most precious gift on the planet. The most precious gift that we could ever give to God is a fully surrendered heart. It's not money or even giving him our talent or giving him our treasure. the most precious gift that we could ever give to God and the thing that he wants the most is a fully surrendered heart. And that is what we all have. And that is what's free. But at the same point, it will cost us everything when we give him a fully surrendered heart. And that's where he starts. You know, this passage of scripture, to just explain it, it's saying, who's thirsty? Come to the waters. Even if you don't have any money, come to Jesus. You know, God wants us to, we feel like we don't have anything. We don't have an all to even offer him. And he's saying, you don't need that. If you don't have any money, that's okay. Come to me with a fully surrendered heart and I will fill you up. And I will pour into you the all that I want you to have. And it says, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. You see, a fully surrendered heart will enable us to get rid of ourselves and open us up to receive all that he has for us. And that is what brings the blessing. That's what brings it, describes it here as the profuseness of spiritual joy. You know, what we talked about last week with the women that maybe have material success, success according to the world's standards, success in career, success in family, all those things, but yet not truly happy. They don't have the profuseness of spiritual joy. The thing is, we could have everything that this world offers and still be miserable. How many of you would say that Tiger Woods' wife had everything that this world offers? I mean, a good-looking husband who plays golf and makes millions of dollars, two beautiful children. She's gorgeous. Come on, hot body. I mean, doesn't get much better than that. But how many of you know she's not happy right now? You can have everything this world has to offer, money, fame, security. You can have just a gorgeous, what you consider to be the best body ever. All of those things, you can have all that and still not be happy on the inside. Let me tell you, I'd rather have nothing but have Jesus. I'd rather be poor and just have Jesus. And so we could even do all the right things. We could be wonderful mothers, wonderful wives, wonderful students, wonderful employees. We could be great at our careers. We could be the best neighbors ever. We could be servants to other people, but yet somewhere in our life we're dissatisfied because it's not so much about what we do on the outside, but it's about where we're at on the inside with God, and the good things that we do and the good things of who we are comes from him and only him. That's what I'm talking about all this morning. So God has a specific all for each one of us. Ephesians 2:10, which was the main scripture that we learned last week. I'm going to read it again. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. He planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So God has prearranged and predestined an all for each of us. Those good works for each of us. They are pre-planned. They are planned beforehand. They are planned ahead of time. And it says right here, it says we should walk in them. Walk in them. That is language that suggests graceful unity with the purposes of God. And God wants us to walk. It's a journey. It's a process. And at each stage and at each season of our life, there are new and better good works. There are different good works. And so women, let's not compare ourselves to what we used to be or even be like, I'm not where I want to be or I'm not where she is. And come on, we're on a journey. We're on a walk with Jesus. And sometimes we are in a mountaintop and sometimes we're in a valley. But everywhere that we walk with Jesus, he's got good works for us in that place and in that season. But even Jesus said, I don't say anything unless the Father leads me to say it. I don't do anything unless the Father leads me to do it. And so it's so important, ladies, that finding our all and staying in that best life and staying in that love life, that big life, that we stay close to him. Because we don't want to be like the Pharisees who just took an assignment and went with it, just took the law and just went with it and did it in our own strength, did it in their own strength. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be miserable like that. It's about relationship. It's about walking with Jesus and allowing him at every stage and every season of our life, every mountain and every valley, everywhere that we go, that he's with us, he's leading us, he's guiding us, he's speaking to us all along the way. It's about, the all is about relationship. And to walk in God's all, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Absolutely have to be. We cannot do this in our own strength. We have got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as believers in Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Bible says that no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that drew each and every one of us to repentance. It's the Holy Spirit that drew each and every one of us to accept Jesus into our lives. And in the book of Ephesians, it says that the Holy Spirit is the deposit guarantee on the inside of every believer unto the day of redemption. And so when Jesus looks at the earth and when he calls us into heaven, he'll say, those who have this Holy Spirit are coming. And if you have accepted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the part of God that made your spirit alive and recreated it. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is different from just having the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill us continuously, but we live in a body. We have a spirit and we have a soul. And all those things are interconnected with. They won't be unconnected until we die. But right now on this earth, they are all connected. And each piece of who we are relates. And so when we're having physical pain or when we're having emotional pain, it affects our spirit. And that is why we continuously need to be filled to have the power. It's like putting gas in your car. And you put gas in your car once a week, or if you drive a lot, maybe a couple times a week. I usually do it once a week. I have to put gas. It fills it up. I go, and then it's on empty. That's what it's like with the Holy Spirit as part of being filled. We have to get filled with him on a consistent and a regular basis. And we go and we go and we walk with Jesus and we do what we're called to do. And we live our life for God. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves empty and we're like, I need to get filled up again. It's just like eating. Every single morning we eat. What happens? We burn it off, right? We burn it off. We burn off that energy and we need to eat again. And so we don't stop eating because we ate that morning. Like, I don't just eat breakfast and be like, I'm done, I'm full. You know what? Come noontime, I'm starving again. And then come 6 o'clock, I'm starving again. And then when I wake up the next day, I'm starving again. Come on, how hungry are we for God's presence? Are we doing things in our own strength? Are we just taking the word and taking what we feel like God wants us to do and just trying to be good women? Come on, it's great to want to be a good woman, but let's do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's do what he's called to do in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. This is sort of my routine, just so you know, because, you know, you might not have heard teaching on this before, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to do what Jesus did. Daily, you get in a quiet place and you go get in the presence of God. You have your daily devotional, you read the word of God, you pray, you worship, you give your cares onto him, and you allow him to talk to you. You get your journal and your pen, and you write down what he says, and you got your Bible, and you read it. Come on, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 15 minutes, it could be 30 minutes. But I will tell you this, every day I probably waste at least an hour doing stupid things. Come on now, who's with me? Watching stupid things on TV or just looking at Facebook and looking at my Twitter and come on, just staring at the wall. I mean, come on now. We waste so much time. We can't spend 10 minutes with God to get filled up with him. Come on, it takes me 10 minutes to fill up my car with gas. Well, let me spend 10 minutes filling up my spirit with the Holy Ghost. And so get alone with God. Jesus did it every day. Every day, he did it in the middle of the night sometimes. It's recorded in scripture. The only time he could get away from people would be in the middle of the night or early, early in the morning. Come on, if you're so busy, get up in the middle of the night. Whatever you have to do, make it a priority to get filled up with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew 11, verse 29 through 30. in the Amplified, Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and meek and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne." You know, the all in our lives is not a heavy burden. And with the Holy Spirit as our helper, because Jesus said in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit would come and be our helper. And as the Holy Spirit is our helper, the burden is light, not easy. But when we do things in the power of our own strength, without the fuel and the power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it is a heavy burden, a very heavy burden. Because Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." And to take up our cross and follow him and to lay our lives down and to say no to the flesh is very burdensome in our own strength. But God already knew that, and he sent us the helper, and he doesn't want us to live without the helper. He provided the helper to be our counselor, our helper, our supporter, our teacher. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to do his job in our life, we are superwomen spiritually, right? We live in that supernatural part of God. You know, I like this passage in the Message Bible. This is modern terminology at its best. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." I love that. I love the Message Bible, how it explains that scripture. You know, the call of God on all of our lives and the all that God has for all of our life, it is not to make us weary. It's not just another assignment, another task, another to-do list. The all that God has for us, when that burn us out or wear us out, if, right here in the middle of that passage, if we learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You see, there's a mystery. There's an unforced rhythm of grace. God's grace is so strong and so powerful. And if we can walk in that rhythm, we won't grow weary or tired. And as a matter of fact, we'll have real rest. We will have refreshing. And it says it right here. It says, "We will have refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet, relief and ease for our soul." How many of you need that in your life? I know I need that in my life. And when we allow the yoke of God to be upon us and we start operating in his all for our life and not our own all or not someone else's all, not the world defining for us how we should live, then we can walk in that. Amen. Amen. So page 29 in this book, I just want to read you a passage of what Christine says about the Holy Spirit. She says, "The Holy Spirit is the helper Jesus promised would be with us always, and he will enable us to live the supernatural life. With him and through him, we really can be like the Proverbs 31 woman and be able to have and to do it all, despite the screaming children, traffic jams, work deadlines, laundry piles, date nights, and the list goes on. Walking in the Spirit also means that we don't compartmentalize our life. You know, ladies, we're so good at compartmentalizing. You know, we have these like files in our brain where we're like, okay, this is husband file. This is work file. This is exercise file. This is friend. Okay, and 1, 2, 3, all my 10 friends, each one of them has their own file. And, you know, this is my future file. And this is my past file. And this person who hurt me file. And come on, we file things and we store them in our brain, don't we? And we compartmentalize and we're like, okay, I'm off to work now. So I'm leaving this behind and I'm exercising now. And now's me time. You know, now's kid time, and we compartmentalize instead of being interconnected, and it's provided a lot of stress for a lot of us women over the years. But truthfully, We are interconnected. God wants us to be interconnected. We can't separate who we are. Our spirit, our relationships, our emotional realm, our physical realm, they are all connected. You know, just like this, I'm about to make some people drool, this delicious chocolate cake. Let me get it in the light. It is made up of baking soda, butter, cocoa powder, sugar, flour, eggs, buttermilk, salt, espresso, vanilla extract, and icing. It even has white chocolate engraved sisterhood on there. That's white chocolate on top. And just like all the different, I'm going to cover it back up so y'all don't get distracted the rest of this talk here. Just like that yummy, delicious cake, it's made up of all these different ingredients. And each of these ingredients by themselves is not necessarily yummy or good. But when you put them all together and you mix them all together and you bake it in the oven at just the right temperature, just the right degrees for just the right amount of time, it comes out to be this delicious gourmet dessert. And that is how our lives are. We are made up of so many different pieces. We are mother, sister, daughter, friend, coworker. We have so many jobs and titles. We have so much in our lives. And just like this cake made up of many different pieces, all of those pieces together are key to its success. All the different elements of our lives are key to our success. So if we can understand cooking, why can't we understand ourselves? Why can't we understand how to make it all fit together? You see, our lives, they spiral out of control when we try to separate or isolate or compartmentalize ourselves rather than keeping everything connected. I'd like to read pages, and mine fell out, so I got to figure out where to get them here. There's page 25. Hold on. Here we go. I got it. How many of you bought the book and it fell apart? Okay, good. I devour my books. I highlight them and pin, and I put like sticky notes on them. And by the time I'm done with a book, it's just toast. Listen to what she says here in chapter one about living intentionally and about synchronizing our life. She says, simultaneously, I am a Christian, a mother, a wife, a daughter, a sister, a friend, a pastor, a teacher, an author, and all of the other facets that make me the kind of cake that I am. Every ingredient of my life is interconnected. I don't stop being a mother when I'm a preacher, nor do I stop being a wife when I'm bathing the children, just as I don't stop being a Christian when I'm having a discussion with my husband. I'm all of these things all of the time. And they all work together to make me who I am. My life begins to spiral out of control when I try to separate, isolate, and compartmentalize these areas rather than keeping them interconnected. I need to allow all of the components that make me who I am to work synchronistically to create the God life I'm called to live. I used to wrongly think that as a Christian woman, a good Christian woman, my priorities in life had to be in the following order: God, family, church, career and work, ministry and service, friends, leisure, health and fitness. It's not that there's anything wrong with these priorities or the order in which I chose to put them, but instead of seeing my life as an interconnected whole, I have set things up in competition with each other. I was constantly frustrated because I never seemed to have enough time for anything, especially for God, and He was at the top of my list. The reason things don't fit into my neatly constructed box of list of priorities is because life happens. Come on, can I get an amen for that? The kids don't always want to eat their veggies in 5 minutes or go to bed at 8 p.m. sharp or even get straight A's at school. Your computer crashes after you lose an entire day's of work. Your husband has had a tough day and he prefers to watch TV rather than spend time with you. Someone becomes ill or tragedy strikes. The reality is that unexpected events and disruptions occur daily. And no matter how much we try to control things, we ultimately can't control every moment of every day. When you compartmentalize your life, like I did mine, You set yourself up for feeling like a clown juggling a thousand balls all at once, all the while waiting for the whole act to come raining down around you. So every time we try to develop one area of our life, we secretly feel guilty for neglecting another. Our life becomes one big mess of competing priorities. God never intended for life to be a juggling act, nor for us to feel that if we nurture one aspect of our lives, it will be at the expense of another. The different aspects of our lives are not supposed to compete against each other, because each is valid and necessary, and together make up the whole of who we are. Can anybody relate to that? You know, when you feel like you're at work as working, if you're a working mother, you feel guilty because someone else is watching your kids. And you're like, what kind of mom am I? I'm working and someone else is watching my kids. But the truth is, that is compartmentalized thinking, that me working is neglecting my children. But as a matter of fact, you working is taking care of and providing and loving your children all at the same time. Just like she said here, when you bathe your children doesn't mean you're neglecting your husband. And when you're doing this doesn't mean you're neglecting that. When we live our lives in a straight line of priorities, everything will be in competition. But we shouldn't think of our lives as a line. We need to think of our lives as a circle, and that everything is connected, and that as long as that circle is surrendered to God, that like what we shared at first, that our heart is fully surrendered and that everything in that circle is from God and is what God wants for you, then you can look at your life as a circle and say, this affects this, affects this, affects this. And anytime I'm doing something, it will directly benefit my life as a whole. But when we take pieces out and we're like, okay, now is time to work out, and now it's time with my kids, and now it's time with my friends, and now it's time to plan for my future and this and that, then it is so stressful, ladies. No wonder half the women in America are on drugs, medicated drugs from their doctors. Come on now. Let's not look at our life in a straight line. Let's look at our life as a whole, just like this cake that God said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his masterpiece, created in him for good works. And you know, it also says, Jesus, we should pour out our life as an offering unto God. You know, God is building us. Just like someone, her name's Christy Shores, and she's not here, but she dropped these off. She's a caterer in our church. She made this, and you're going to get to have some in a few minutes, by the way. So just get ready. It's absolutely delicious. And the recipe is in chapter 1. So if you want to make it home, the recipe is in chapter 1. But just like this is a masterpiece, it's a cake masterpiece, and it's made up of many different ingredients, all of which are important. Our lives are a masterpiece that God is building. God is building our lives. He's got good works planned out for us. He doesn't want us to compartmentalize what's going on. He wants everything that he's doing and everything of who we are to work and to flow as a masterpiece that he is creating. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to Celebration Sisterhood. We hope this message has been an inspiration and opened your heart to embracing all that God has for you.